This is the fourth and final installment of Jesus is the Reason for the Season. We had talked about the prophecy, the preparation that God made, the provision that God made for His Son to come. And now we're going to look at the proclamation. And we've talked about these things that, you know, God did that salvation would be available to mankind. I mean, that's the whole point of this thing. And God has done His part. And now we must look at what God has expected of us in this plan of salvation that He has. And believe me, we all have a part in it. Now, you don't have a part of your own salvation, so to speak. I mean, God had to save you. You had to accept what Christ did. Okay, you don't get there by works. You don't earn it. You don't buy your way in. You don't work your way in. You, by faith, you accept the forgiveness of God, and you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that He died for your sin and rose in victory over that sin and death, and therefore we have life. But afterwards, when that has taken place in your life, when you've asked God to forgive you, the Holy Spirit comes and makes you alive spiritually and resides within you and empowers you to do what? To share the gospel. I mean, that's we're to glorify Him in everything that we do, but our specific purpose is to share the gospel. And that's, you know, that's why we're left behind. Otherwise, when we accept Christ, He just takes us up there and be with Him, right? But He leaves us to share. And that's why I call it the proclamation. And so let's look at this passage in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over the flock. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough," or a manger for the traditionalists. "Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth to people He favors.' When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough." Excuse me. "After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told." And so there's our passage, a very familiar passage to most of us. We've seen and read this many times and heard various parts of it in songs and everything else. But we're going to take a look at this, verses 8 and 9. To start off with, these were everyday men. These were everyday men. In the same regions, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch at night over their flock. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And so these are everyday men. These were men on the job. And you know what? They were not beyond God using them to do something, to accomplish something. They were employed in an honest and honorable profession. Now, they were looked down upon because shepherds were the lowest of the low, hanging out with the sheep all the time. But you know what? It was an honorable profession. There was nothing wrong with it. It was necessary. It was livelihood for these men. And you know what? We are all placed somewhere. Every one of us is placed somewhere. You have a job. You go to school. You You have a circle of friends. You have certain people that are in your sphere of influence. Don't think for one moment that's an accident, that's a coincidence. You are placed with purpose. And God moves people. They move from job to job. They do things, whatever. But, the whole point of the thing is wherever you're at, God wants to use you. And it doesn't take special education or anything else. It just takes, hey, you're saved. You have a testimony. Share it. I mean, that's basically it. And should we be in the Word and have certain knowledge of Scriptures? Absolutely. We should. But the bottom line is, He has you somewhere. There's somebody where you're at that needs to hear truth. And that's why we're here. And these were everyday men, just like everybody in this room. We are all just everyday people doing different things, going through our week, and God bringing us in contact with whoever He sees fit. And so we just need to remember that every day. And you know what? That's who God wants to use. That's who we are. So we're usable. It's very simple. But they were given an extraordinary message. An extraordinary message. And it says, the angel said, don't be afraid. First part of verse 10. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. You know, so many times when we get in a position to share, fear comes in, doesn't it? It's like, God, really? You want me to share with this guy or this girl? Really? This isn't really the right place, is it? I mean, there's a certain amount of fear there. I've witnessed, I would dare say to thousands, I'm talking about on an individual basis, not talking in a group, which it's good to witness in a group. I do it every Sunday here. But, I've been to Peru, and, Scott's been to Peru. Man, you're talking people one-on-one witnessing. And I know Kevin does that in Ireland and in Africa. And there's a certain amount of fear. No matter how many times you do it, every day we'd be there for five straight days in Peru. And I don't care if it's the first day or the fifth day when I get up, even though I've done it all week. It's like, oh, man, what kind of reception am I going to get today? All these things come in your head. Am I going to remember, whatever? There's all these fears. But, there's other things we're afraid of that we don't think about so much. Sharing the Lord is one that I think we're all aware of. But, don't fear your calling. When God calls you to do something good, something big, something whatever, it may not be big, but it's big to you, okay? Don't be afraid of your calling, what God's called you to do. He will empower you. He will enable you. And you know what? You might fail. He might have called you to fail at something to teach you something so you'll be successful later. See, so don't fear your calling. Don't fear your enemies. Do we have enemies? Oh, yeah. If you're standing for Jesus Christ, you have enemies. There are people out there that Satan is using, the adversary is using against you. And it's called persecution. And it can take extreme forms like we see in the news. That's what makes the news, the beheadings and things like that. But it can be very subtle forms of persecution as well. But don't fear it. Don't fear your enemies. God has already won the victory. You have nothing to be afraid of. You've heard me say it before. You can't threaten me with heaven. Okay? The worst they can do is kill me. And if they kill me, I go to heaven. Okay? I mean, it's like, don't do me any favors, but you're not really hurting me. Okay? So don't fear your enemies. But here's another one. Don't fear your friends. A lot of times when you say you're going to do something for the Lord, sometimes it's your friends that say, and it's not that they're being malicious, but they're like, you sure you want to do that? Don't fear your friends, because our friends, our acquaintances have actually more influence on us than our enemies do. I mean, if it's my enemy, it's like, what do I expect, But man, when it's people you care about, sometimes it can even be your own family. And they don't want you to go down that road because they don't get it. See, if they don't have the Lord, they don't get it. I remember when I was at Sears and I was working and God led me to, you know, he impressed on my heart, we need to go to New Mexico. And I had a ton of people telling me, people that knew me, that cared about me, that, you know, and they said, don't go. You'll never get back what you had. And I'm like, well, I'm not going there to get that kind of stuff, you know. But people, you know, my coworkers were telling me, you know, because I took, I think it was about a third cut in pay to go. No, you'll never get that money back. Well, they were wrong because I did come back eventually and I actually got all that money back. But I didn't know that was going to happen, but God worked it out. But sometimes it's your friends. It's the people you're acquainted with that actually have a certain amount of care for you. And they just don't want to see you make a bad mistake or a foolish mistake. And sometimes we do. I have made some foolish moves in my life, and I'm sure you have too. But we got to have a certain amount of discernment. And I would not trade that experience in New Mexico, 6 years that we spent there, for anything. God did so much. I dare say if I had not gone there, I would not be here. Now, for some of you, that might have been a good idea, but all I can say is I know I would not be here right now in this place. I might be in California, but I would not be here doing what I'm doing if I hadn't have gone. God had a bigger plan. I didn't know what it was, and if I'd have known, I probably would have had fear and not gone. But he brings us along in his time and his way. Don't be afraid to let God bring you along in his time and his way. Okay, you might be afraid. The last thing we might be afraid of is our responsibility, because with what the Bible say, to whom much is given, much is required. You know, when God wants to do something with you, there's a responsibility that goes along with that, and don't be afraid of it. Just embrace it, and just say, you know, that's part of it. Got to be responsible. That's kind of contrary to our culture these days. Nobody wants to be responsible for anything. But we need to own where God has us. And we need to say, okay, this is my calling. This is what God's called me to do. And I'm going to own it. I'm going to be responsible for what God has given me. You don't have to be responsible for someone else. Okay? I'm not going to answer for you. Now, I will answer as a pastor for how I shepherded you, but you're going to answer for your own decisions, and I'm going to answer for mine. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you're not going to be judged on your salvation, but you will be judged on what did God do with you? What did you allow God to do with you as a believer? Your works are going to be judged, and some will burn, the Bible tells us, and some, the good ones, the ones that were of God, that will stand. And we're all going to face that, folks. So, but don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of your responsibility. If God has given you this responsibility of whatever it is, he will empower you to handle it. He will give you what you need. He's a faithful God. So they were given an extraordinary message. Don't fear. Also, we see the proclamation. This is all under the same thing here. It says, don't be afraid. Look, I proclaim to you. News of great joy. News of great joy. That's the proclamation. And it says for all the people. All the people. Now, who were they talking to? Jewish shepherds. But he says this news is for all the people. That's the Jews. That's the Gentiles. That's the Romans. You know what? That news stands today. It is for all the people. Race, creed, color, gender, the news is for all the people. And it's a proclamation. You know, when you proclaim something, it's not like, hey, do you know there's some good news out there? When you proclaim, I mean, what comes to your word? What comes to your mind? It's like, hey, there's good news. You know, you're proclaiming it. It's a proclamation. It's something to proclaim because you know what? It's life. it's life. Because this is a life and death business, folks. People that die without the Lord, it's death to them. Eternal damnation. That's what it is. But to those that believe, it is life everlasting. It's a good thing. And we have something to proclaim. If you had the cure for cancer,
amen,
would you not proclaim it? Would you not? Would you not shout it?
Yes.
How much better news do we have than that? I mean, that's good news if that was the case. But how much better news is what we have? That we should proclaim it and not be ashamed of it and not be afraid of it. Proclamation. We see the Savior in verse 11. Today a Savior who is Messiah the Lord. You know, he gives them three names there. He's the Savior. He's Messiah. You know, Savior. Savior is one who saves. Okay? Messiah, that's the one they were looking for. You know, it talks about it in the Old Testament, which is all that they had then, was the Messiah is coming. That's what they were waiting for. That's what they were looking for. And they knew from the prophecy, we talked about this on Wednesday night, the prophecy in Daniel, they knew that the time was there. It was that time. They knew the Messiah. That's why whenever the wise men, remember they went to Herod and they said, you know, where's the baby going to be born? Bethlehem. They knew. They knew the Messiah was coming and they knew this was the time. You know, in that time frame when they were at. It was going to be around that time. They were looking for him. Problem was they were looking for the wrong kind of Messiah. They were looking for some general to come and wipe out Rome. You know, some military god to come and put Israel back where it belongs on top of the world. And instead, they got a man of love and a servant that was washing people's feet, and they just weren't ready for it. Because he will come as king one day. You know that, right? He will come, and the government will be on his shoulders. But that was not the time. He came as a servant, and I'm glad he did, because you know what? He had to die for you and me. He submitted himself to death on the cross. And he had, it says, a Savior who is Messiah the Lord, who was born for you. For you. Very important word in there. For you. Because you know what? If he hadn't have been born for me, I'd be lost. And so would you. He came for us, folks. He came to do what we could not do. We could not make it right with God without him. Apart from him, we cannot make it right with God. He came for us. Verse 12, we see the sign. Extraordinary message. Don't fear. I got a proclamation. There's a Savior. There's going to be a sign. Verse 12. This will be a sign for you. Remember, the Jews were sign people. They were always looking for a sign. Read it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They said, give us a sign. You say you're the Messiah. Give us a, they were always doing it. They were a sign people. So God's saying, I'm going to give you a sign right here. You want a sign? This is your sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a feeding trough. Manger sounds so much nicer, don't it? Lying in a manger, oh, it just sounds so sweet and nice. It's a feeding trough, folks. We were on a ranch in New Mexico. I would not want to lay my baby in a feeding trough. Seriously. Seriously. Our Lord is humble. Jesus said, I am humble. I am lowly. And you know what? We got no room for pride. We have, if the King of Kings and Lord of Lords comes and lays in a feeding trough, who are we to have pride? But that was the sign. You're going to find this baby in a trough. wrapped up in cloth. And then we have the exclamation point, which is 13 and 14, the exclamation point. Suddenly, so he tells them this, you know, don't fear, you know, I got good news, there's a Savior, here's the sign, and then bam, like a billion angels. I mean, I don't know how many there are. But it says the heavenly host. Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to people he favors, or goodwill toward men, okay? But it's like the exclamation point. This one angel comes, and these guys were scared to death. Think about it. It says the glory of the Lord shone around them. I mean, so just think about it. You're on a dark hillside. It's night. Maybe there was a moon. Maybe there wasn't. I kind of tend to think there wasn't. I think it was really dark. And they're out there. And all of a sudden, this angel comes. And, you know, remember the story in the Old Testament? Moses, you know, he went on the mountain. He came back and he had the glory of God all over him. And it was so bright, they made him, like, put a bag over his head, basically. You know, they said, cover up, man. You are so bright just from being with God. Okay? Now, this was the glory of God. This isn't about being with. This was the glory of God. And these guys are, it's dark, and all of a sudden, boom, this light is all around them. Yeah, I'd be pretty scared too, I think. I'd be pretty scared too. But, I mean, bam. So that light comes, and he gives them this great message, and then, bam, angels. I don't know, I get the impression they were up in the air. I don't know. You know, maybe they were, maybe they weren't. I don't know. But it says, suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host. Were they up in, I mean, we always have the pictures, they're kind of up in the sky. But I don't know, maybe there was like 100,000 angels on the ground right there. All with glory. You know how bright that would be? Bam! All these angels. And they're saying, glory to God in the highest. In excelsis Deo. That's what they're saying. I don't know if they spoke Latin, but whatever they spoke. But peace on earth to people he favors. Glory to God. And you're going to have peace. Peace with God is possible, is what the angel's saying. Peace with God is possible. Because you see, before you had Christ, there was no peace with God. It's just that simple. Whether you're a nice guy or a nice gal, you could be the nicest person in the world. You still didn't have peace with God. Because you're on one side and he's on the other. Until he saves you. Jesus said what? You're either for me or you're against me. That's what he said. So you have peace with God. But you know what also you get? You get peace in your heart. You can be in the midst of trying circumstances and have peace. Doesn't mean your surroundings are peaceful, because we know, right? Christian life frequently is not peaceful. But inside, you can have that peace. The Bible calls it the peace that passes all understanding. Because people that don't have that peace, they don't get it. They don't get it. How can you have this disease and have peace? How can you have this tragedy occur in your family and still have peace? How can you do that? Well, it's only because of him that is in you that you can have the peace. And that's what was made possible here. So we can have peace with God, we can have peace in our heart, and we can have peace with others. Now, you know as well as I do, I don't care how much you care for somebody, there's times you don't have peace with them. Just ask any married couple. Or, if you're not married, do you have a brother or sister? Did you always have peace with them? Or did you always have peace with your mom or your dad? Did you always have peace with your friends? I mean, you know, not always. Why? Because we're sinful. We have pride. We have a sin nature. We're selfish. All those things. But you know what? When you have Christ in you, you can have peace with other believers. Now, we're always going to be at enmity with the world. Now, you can get along with some people, but there's always going to be that thing that's there. I mean, you can have the best friend in the world. You just and maybe they're lost as the day is long. You just start talking about God and see how long they stay with you. Start bringing up Jesus. You know, I got along really good with a lot of people at work, but I brought my Bible to work one day and just carried it around. You should have seen how it bothered a ton of people. And I didn't even open it. I didn't quote it. And it wasn't a Bible that said, like, Holy Bible on it. It could have been any book, but they knew it was a Bible. And it bugged them. Funny how that works. But we can have peace. Very diverse people, if you got Christ in common, you can have peace. I found it, you know, when we would go on the mission field in Peru, you know, and there're believers there. Man, you don't know them, you never met them before, but they're a believer, and there's all automatically there's this connection. It's cool. We have an extraordinary message, folks. Verse 15 and 16, they examined the manger. They examined the manger. So, here they are in the dark, you know, sheep are out there. Bam, an angel comes. Bam, a ton of angels come. And then, boom, they're gone. Gave them this great message. And then, in 15? When the angels left and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. They examined the manger. You know, I don't see anything in here that says they doubted. Look what they said. They said, they looked at one another. I'm sure they were stunned. You know, I mean, wouldn't you? You'd be stunned. You know, they're probably sitting there going, "Wow, oh, man, that was something." And then they said, "You know what? Let's go. Let's go straight to Bethlehem and let's see what's happened. Let's see what the Lord has made known to us." And they went and they verified what was said. They verified what was said. These angels said, "You're going to find it. Let's go verify it." But I don't see anything in here where they didn't believe they were going to find it. They had faith. They believed God. Do you believe God? When you read His Word and you come across something and it says something, do you believe it? You know, God is not afraid of you checking Him out. God gave these people a message, these shepherds, and they went and checked it out. There's nothing wrong with that. Check it out. They did not doubt, but they did verify the truth. And God's not afraid of that. He's not afraid of that. He's not afraid to have His Word examined. A lot of people have. They've examined it, even with a bad motive. But you know what happens? It changes them. A lot of them come out believing what they set to disprove. They turn into believers. That's the power of the Word. If anything, when we try and check out God, I don't care what area of life, maybe He's trying to get you to trust in some relational issue that's going on in your life, or He's trying to get you to trust in some health issue or some financial issue, or, you know, I don't know. Wherever God is speaking to you in His Word, you go check it out. And you know what I bet you? You probably shouldn't bet, but I'll bet you your faith gets increased. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a little shook sometimes. Sometimes my, you know, some things happen and it kind of shakes me a little bit. I mean, we just talked about John the Baptist. I think it was last week or the week before. I mean, you know, here's the great John the Baptist. And what does he do? Sends a message saying, "Are you the one or should we look for someone else?" You know, even John the Baptist, you know, he kind of, because of his circumstances. But you know what? When he investigated, Jesus said what? "Tell him this is what I've done. The lame walk, the blind see." And you know what? John checked it out. I'm sure it encouraged him. And it solidified his belief. And you know what? God works the same way. You check him out, I guarantee you, your faith will grow. God is not afraid of your scrutiny. Third time was a charm. 17 through 20, they evangelized the masses. After seeing the baby and Joseph and Mary and all that they saw, they reported the message they were told about this child and all who heard it. So all is like all. So they were telling a bunch of people. Now, we don't know how many, but they were telling a bunch of people. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. And then verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they were told. Listen, they went out and immediately told everyone they ran into what they had seen and heard. And you know, that's what God is asking us to do today. Nothing big. You don't have to make up anything. You don't have to go find someone else's story. Just tell what you have seen and heard. That's what you share. What did God save you from? I mean, you know, how did God change your life? That's what you share. You just share what you have seen and heard. And share the word. But when they want a testimony, when they want an example of the power, just share what he did in you. That's all these guys did. These guys were not priests. You know, they were not Sadducees. They were, you know, they were just normal working people. And they just said, this is what God did. And people were amazed. People were amazed. But I want you to look at verse 19. It says, Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. And that word treasure, and I'm trying to think what the word might be, kept. I think in the King James it says Mary kept these things. It's a very interesting word. It really means remember. Mary, she remembered these things the rest of her life. And she pondered on the, you know, she just didn't simply take it all in and then, okay, that's what God did. She actually pondered it. She meditated on it. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember what God has done in your life and do you ponder upon it? Do you ponder? I mean, don't just say, oh yeah, I accepted the Lord and he did this great thing in my life. Okay, that's great and that, you know, hey, that's the best. But do you ever ponder what God has done in your life? And really think about it. And really ponder what, because there is no coincidence. God does not work in accidents. If God did something in your life, there was a purpose to it. There was a reason for it. And I think sometimes we just blow right past things. And Mary could have very easily just said, wow, these shepherds came and blah, 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 and then totally forgot about it. But the Bible says she pondered it. What does all this mean for me? You understand how her life changed at this time? And she's pondering, you know, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for me and my husband, our family? Because when God does some things, it changes. You know, just like when we went to New Mexico, two of my boys stayed here. One of my boys went with me. You know, it changed a lot of dynamics in our family. Changed a lot of things. And I have to say, I didn't really ponder that much. You know, just looking back at it, I didn't really ponder. It doesn't mean what I did was wrong, but I think I might have missed some opportunities to really have more impact in my sons. We need to ponder when God's doing something in our life. And really get alone with him and ask him to give us the bigger picture. Because, you know, when he's working in you, he's not just working in you. There's more to it. And I think sometimes we miss the bigger picture. Concerning Jesus Christ, God was not silent. He prophesied all through the Old Testament, didn't he? Started off with Adam and Eve. He was the one that started it all. The prophets were not silent, were they? Now, a lot of them, they paid a price for not being silent. The angels were not silent. Boy, they came and proclaimed. The shepherds were not silent. John the Baptist was not silent. He was out there. Remember a couple weeks ago when I was talking about John? I mean, he was out there preaching repentance. And, you know, there's one coming way greater than me. I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. There's one coming. The disciples were not silent. In fact, Paul was not silent, was he? The Bible's not silent. And that was why I had Dave read that verse. It says, even the rocks will cry out. The creation is not silent. Jesus himself was not silent, was he? He proclaimed himself. He knew who he was. We should not be silent. We should not be silent. That's a challenge to every one of us. We have a great message to proclaim. And it's been proclaimed throughout the ages. And we can't do anything about before, but we can start right now and do more. And not be shy about what God has done in us. There may be some here today that would say, you know, Brother Mike, I don't even know what you are talking about because I don't have peace with God. I don't have this internal peace. Okay? There could be some in here like that. The peace with God is available. It is available. You can have it. There may be some here today that you've never asked God to forgive you. You've never trusted in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to pay for your sin. You've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You've never done that. Others, those of us that have done those things, I only got one question. Are you silent? Are you silent? Do you fail to share what God has shown you, what you have seen and heard? That's something for all of us to ponder. If we can have every head bowed, every eye closed. On this Christmas morning, is there anybody here today that would say, Brother Mike, I have never asked God to forgive me. I have never received forgiveness and been given eternal life. I don't even know what you're talking about. I just know that I haven't done that. Anybody like that? Well, I hope that's true. I hope everyone here has a personal relationship with God. I do hope and pray that. But how many here today would say, Brother Mike, the words have convicted me. I've been silent. Anybody like that? I've been silent too much. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. I see hands. I've been silent too much. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Don't fear. God is with you. Don't fear. Heavenly Father, Lord God, help us all to proclaim in a greater way the truth of what Jesus has done and what Jesus wants to do. Father God, this time of year when we celebrate the inception of your plan, your great plan, the mystery, as Paul called it, that was throughout the ages, it was revealed. And we celebrate that. And we thank you for it, Lord. We praise you for what you did on our behalf. Now help us, Lord, to be bold. This time is yours. As Kathy plays, if God has put something on your heart, you deal with him right now. This is your time with God. Take advantage of it. Don't be silent with God. It starts with getting in a conversation with him and letting it overflow into the rest of your life. Take this time. Be wise. You know, prayer was removed from schools and Christians were silent. Abortion became legal and Christians were still silent. I mean, there's some that squawk, but and it's grown since then after we lost that ground. People die without knowing the Lord every day and Christians are silent. This country has gotten into the state that it's in because Christians are silent. You know, the answer is not government, folks. It's not getting a certain person elected or even a whole Congress elected that we think are people that... No, it has to do with us not being silent and sharing. And you get enough Christians saved, or enough people saved become Christians and they start voting the word of God, then you automatically get the people that would be good. The government reflects the people. It's not the other way around. We got to understand that. We serve a great and awesome God who has given us an extraordinary message of love, joy, peace, and salvation. Let's not be silent any longer. Doesn't mean you beat people over the head. Doesn't mean you be obnoxious. You give them truth in love. Truth and grace. That's what Jesus gave us. His grace means we didn't get zapped by a lightning bolt, which we deserved for our sin, right? That was his grace. But the truth is, guess what? I came and died for you that you would have life. And if you don't get that life, you will go to hell. That is truth. But truth is also, once you have him, he empowers you and he can do great and mighty things in your life. That's truth also. And so we're going to do one more song. I'm going to have the praise team come up. And I think it's a fitting way to close out the message. Go tell it on the mountain. And or wherever you are, whatever your mountain is.